We started the business with $200 and a dream. You say, why aren't you living your dream? Well, I don't have the money, or I have a job, or I can't do this, or if somebody would just. And the same faith that it took with $200 mm-hmm. is the same faith that it takes with $2,000, mm-hmm. same faith that it takes with $200,000, same faith that it takes with $2 million, and it doesn't stop. I wanted to bet on myself. Yeah. I wanted to say, God, if you can use anything, you can use me, and I'm going to walk this process through so I can show all these kids what it looks like as we're walking this dream together. And I mean, we have so many success stories, but God is still painting my picture. It's not done.
Yeah. I'm sitting up here like, she has so captured my attention. I'm like, yeah. Once again. Oh, praise God. Hello, I'm Creflo Dahl, and welcome to Your World. Now, I want you to think for a moment about the dream you've always had. Maybe you wanted to start your own business or be a teacher or a doctor or even a professional singer. Maybe you've always wanted to write a book, be a community leader, or a star on Broadway. Well, let me ask you this. What have you been doing to get you from where you are to living that dream out loud? Now, if you're like millions of other people, your dreams of fulfilling your purpose has been just sitting on the shelf collecting dust. Now, you may have come up with all the reasons in the world. You don't have enough money, you don't have the time, or you just don't have the skills. But are those reasons or just excuses? What will it take for you to pursue your passion, answer your calling, and finally walk in your destiny? On today's show, discover how you can fulfill the dream you've always had right here on Your World. Welcome back. Now, my guest today was miserable in her job as an insurance adjuster, all the while knowing she had been destined for better things. She had lost sight of her dream to become a singer, and it wasn't until she found herself in tears driving to her office that she finally decided to do something about it. Please join me in welcoming Natasha Garcia to Your World.
Good to see you.
God bless you.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this today.
Yes.
We're talking about dreams. And it's real awesome to be able to talk to someone who knows the journey. And you're known as a live your dream coach.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And this journey from where you were to your destiny. Let's begin there. Talk to us about where you were and the journey you took to reach this destiny.
So I was 10 years old, first time ever, went to a concert with my mom, and there was another 10-year-old little girl singing. She had the entire audience. It was like 300 people there. And I'm sitting on the end of my seat, like riveted. Like at that moment, I felt like that was my destiny and I was looking at it. And wow. So at the end of the concert, I went to my mom. I said, that's what I want to do with the rest of my life. Uh-huh. And mom didn't know what to do. So she's like, okay, well, let me walk you up here and let you meet the people and see, you know, what we can do to get you started. And so she introduced me to the people and they said, well, is she any good? My mom's like, I don't know. I think so. She sings around the house all the time. And so we went and auditioned for them, and they literally, like 2 weeks later, her next concert, I was a part of it. And that, like, started my dream at 10 years old. I started doing
it. You know, and that's got to be pretty awesome for a 10-year-old to recognize that this is what I want to do. I know people who are 50 and they still don't know what they're supposed to do with their lives.
Right.
But to be able to look at something and say, this is what I want to do.
Yes.
That's pretty powerful.
Yes. I'll fast forward to 10, 15. I won a talent show. When I won the talent show, I won a record deal. So I got my first record deal, did an album, which was really exciting. Then I did Apollo and I traveled all around.
At 15?
Yeah, 15 through 21.
Wow.
So at my young age and watching this little girl and all these people clapping for her, I'm like, yeah, I want that. I want what that feels like, right? And so I lived my life for the next stage performance. You know, when am I going to get in front of people again and they're going to clap? But when I got born again and I realized that it wasn't about that, it was about the anointing. It was about changing people's lives. And that if you didn't have burden removing, yoke destroying power of God on your gift, that it was just like everybody else. It's just like everybody else. What's going to make you different? So I had to kind of go to this whole metamorphosis, and I actually stopped singing, and I got a hold of a biblical principle that what you make happen for someone else, God will make happen for you. So I said, you know, I'm going to step out of this thing that's all about me, and I'm going to take every desire and every dream that I have, and I'm going to put it on the inside of every person that I come in contact with.
Wow.
And I'm going to help them live their dream. And by doing that, God will bring my dream to pass.
Was that hard to do?
Very hard. Because in the beginning, you know, the people are calling and they're like, hey, so I'm looking for a 30-year-old. Around that time, I was around 30. Looking for a 30-year-old, great personality to do this voiceover. And I'm thinking, me. But I'm like, yeah, I have someone, you know. And it took time for God to, like, teach me, like, you know, it's okay. Like, I need you to step back. I need you to serve. That's the highest thing we can do in this world.
You know, that's got to be refreshing to the entertainment industry. To know that they have someone like you putting this mindset in these up-and-coming entertainers.
Yeah.
So what type of resistance do you get as you try to teach this?
Well, you know, we say that we want to be a light in a dark world. And I teach my kids, and some of them are here today, we have to be a light in a dark world. And so that sounds like beautiful, like, oh, the light, ooh, turn on the light, it's beautiful. But when you think about the light in the dark world and you think about a matchbook, take a small little matchbook, and then you take the match out and you think about striking that match against that box and what the match may feel, like if you could talk to the match and say, how do you feel being, you know, rubbed against resistance to flame, to strike a match? To strike a match. So you're like, or the Boy Scouts, they're doing this. And yeah. It's resistance. It's painful. It's misunderstood. People don't get it. But when that light shines, now that light touches another light and another light and another light. And now you've got light everywhere. But to be the light in the dark world, you're going to come up against resistance. And so my kids understand that we have to be different. We can't be like everybody else. If we're like everybody else, we might as well do what they're doing.
That's so good. I'm sitting up here thinking. I'm sitting up here like, she is so capturing my attention. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, where are my notes and everything I had to do this? This is unheard of in a sense of the mentality of people who are in the industry.
Yeah.
Everybody's after what they can get for themselves.
And not what they can give.
I used to say, if I had an opportunity, I would like to send a thank you card to all of my haters.
Mm.
Because they were that matchbox that allowed me to strike a light.
Strike a match.
And I heard something that, I think it was Billie Jean King said this to one of the tennis sister, Serena.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think she
Serena
said,
Williams.
Yeah, I think she said to one of them that pressure is a privilege.
That's beautiful.
And I sat there and I thought about that. Pressure is a privilege. You know, not everybody has the kind of pressure that maybe your students and people that you're involved with, the pressure to be able to one day have this opportunity to get to see their dreams come to pass. But the pathway is not this smooth red carpet that's just out there and everybody's just supposed to fall in place, because it's kind of like you walk in the house and say, rejoice, I'm here. You know, that's not how it works.
It doesn't happen that way. And one of the things that I had to realize, we tell the story all the time that we started the business with $200 in a dream. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most people, if you talk to business people or even dream people, people who have dreams, you say, why aren't you living your dream? Well, I don't have the money, or I have a job, or I can't do this, or if somebody would just, or if somebody would just. And one of the revelations that God gave me coming into 2016, he said, you're looking for a savior. I've already came. There's no one else coming to help you. It's up to you. I've already done everything. So the same faith that it took with $200 mm-hmm. is the same faith that it takes with $2,000, mm-hmm. same faith that it takes with $200,000, same faith that it takes with $2 million, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't change.
Tell that story about when you and your husband were in a situation and it was a choice between your house and your dream and,
yes.
and the choice that was given that day.
So that may take me a place right now.
Okay, but, I got plenty of handkerchiefs.
But yeah, just pull them out, pull them out. I'm going to try to hold it together. So coming from Connecticut, one of the reasons that I moved to Georgia was because I knew that, you know, we could do well in Georgia. I felt like we could do well in Georgia. Wasn't a lot of progressive African-Americans doing a lot in Connecticut. So I came to Georgia and I saw African-American doctors and lawyers and all of this stuff. So I'm like, oh, we're going to go. We're going to do this thing. So we found this house and it's got everything that I prayed for. You know, I had the list, you know, the floors and the jacuzzi and the deck off the master and all of this stuff. And we move into the house and I'm like, you know, so happy that I can show my son what it looks like to be successful and to work hard. And when I quit my job, the insurance job, because my husband was like, you need to leave. I was crying every day, going to work. He said to me, do you want the house or do you want your dream?
Wow.
He said, we can't do both. We can't do both. And I sat on the edge of the bed that day and I chose me. I chose my dream. And it was the hardest thing to do because my girlfriends would call from Connecticut and they're like, girl, we coming down. We moved into an apartment. Girl, we coming. I'm like, you ain't coming over here. I'll meet you at the hotel. Because I didn't want anybody to see that we went from 7 bedrooms to 2. And I'm living my dream. I'm driving a, you know, it wasn't a Pinto, but it wasn't the car that I wanted to drive. But I wanted to bet on myself. Yeah. I wanted to say, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. And I'm going to walk this process through so I can show all these kids what it looks like as we're walking this dream together. And I mean, we have so many success stories, but God is still painting my picture. It's not done. It's not done.
You know, first of all, this is awesome. It's radical. It's just what the doctor ordered. I really believe it, because you meet so many, you know, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come back and tell you what I really think, because what I want to get into is I want her to kind of give us some steps to how do we live that dream? I mean, you know, a lot of people always are asking, you know, how do you start? And you heard all of the excuses that were given, and we're going to come together and see if we can provide a plan for you. So if you're interested in living your dream, Natasha's going to show us how. We'll be right back.
Join forces with Tappy Dollar for a radical revolution at the 2017 Women's Conference, March 16th through 18th in Atlanta, Georgia. As a Bible-based message on equality emerges, we all have a part to play.
We are not under the law, ladies. We are under grace.
Purchase your tickets online today while space is still available.
I got to get my women back to their rightful place.
Welcome back. You know, at the top of the show, I was talking about all the different excuses people make for not stepping out and trying to achieve their dreams, you know, money issues or don't have time. And, you know, I believe that an excuse, it's nothing but nails used to build houses of failure. And you're going to have to get off the excuses. Now, what you're doing in the lives of people, you're taking away those excuses.
Absolutely.
To live your dream, and some of the examples you've had so far, what does it take to get over the excuses and begin to walk it out and to see that you're able to achieve something that you thought you could have never achieved?
I think the biggest one is you have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. People who say, I have stage fright, that's a big excuse. I want to be a singer. Okay, I'm scared. Okay, so when you're afraid, I say, okay, well, if you're afraid to fly a plane, what do you do? you get in it.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have stage fright, you just get on the stage and perform. Like you have to do it. You eliminate the excuses. So the biggest thing that I experienced, and people ask me all the time, well, what if the person just can't sing? What if they just can't sing? Do you tell people they just can't sing?
I used to.
Well, I've learned to never say that. And the reason I learned to never say that, this is a story that'll go down in history for me, but when I was 18 years old and I realized that I had the gift to teach at all, my cousin had a daughter who wanted to sing. She was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And she said, can you teach her to sing? And I didn't even know that I knew how to teach anybody to do anything. I just knew that I sang. And I said, well, I don't really teach anybody. She said, just teach her to do what you do and I'll be fine. So she brought her over. Funniest story ever. She was singing the song Helen Beller, Can You Reach My Friend? And she literally was like, I got a call from an old friend.
Like that?
Yes. We laughed about how things had changed. But I could tell things were, I'm like, wait, hold on. We're talking. This is singing. She's like, that's all I got a call. I said, hold on. So I called her mom. I said, you need to take her. I can't help her. She's like, you can help her. I said, no, I don't know what to do. She said, just teach her to do what you do. So I went back in the room and I pulled out my little keyboard and we started on C. I said, okay, here's C. I need you to hit this note. I need you to sing it like this. And I taught her about vibrato and how to use your vibrato. And we stopped at C. And I said, all right, that's it. That's the end of our lesson. I don't know what else to teach her. Come back in a week and we'll see where she is. And literally she came back the next week. I pressed C. She sang C with the vibrato. I said, wait a minute, we're on to something here. Let's go to the next note. And by the time I finished with her, she was singing. Now, she was like the woman with the issue of blood because she went out and told everybody, that lady over there helped me sing. So I had kids lining up outside of my house with their parents. Can you teach my kid?
Really?
And I didn't even know that I had the gift. That's when God introduced, you have something that I want to use.
Wow.
So that, I would say that could be the biggest excuse ever.
Yeah.
Is that I want to be an actor, but I don't know how to act.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get some training. Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, you want to make sure that you're not the only one that thinks you're good, right? And you want to make sure that it's not just you and your grandmother. Somebody needed to tell them the truth. So I always say that you need to find somebody outside of your family that agrees that you have something before you go present it to the world.
Uh-huh.
But one thing that you taught me, the Bible says it too, but you told me, to tell the truth in love. Mm-hmm. There was a time when I used to tell the truth and people would be so angry about me telling the truth. Say, I don't like the fact that she's telling the truth. She's mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I'm just telling the truth. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn how to lace it in love and say, okay, no, that's not the right note right now, but this is how we can get there. You know what I mean? And if you can hear the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
Here's what happens when you don't tell the truth, okay? And this is another one of those stories that I'll tell about myself because I started when I was young and I started in church. So, you know, in church, it's sing, baby. You could be on 90 keys and it's sing, baby. It's going to be fine. So I used to stand there and I would sing old church. I used to stand there. New church,
you know,
is
new
not
church,
like that.
Stop it. Stop.
So I used to stand there and sing with my eyes closed the entire service, the entire song. No one ever told me that I should open my eyes and I should engage the audience. I didn't know that. So all of those stories that I told you about my wonderful singing experience, it was all with my eyes closed. It wasn't until I turned 18
wow.
that I went and sang in a nightclub and sang with a band. And someone walked over and they said, you're really good, but you may want to open your eyes. And I said, no, it's okay. You can look at the band. And so when I turned 22 and I moved to Georgia, I went to a vocal lesson, my first real vocal lesson. And I walked into this lady's office and she evaluated me and she said, you're singing about 50% of your potential. And I'm looking at her like, okay, I have a record deal. I done been on Apollo. I've traveled abroad. What are you talking about? But I knew she was right. So I learned to appreciate the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And look for the truth and run from the claps.
Mm-hmm.
Because
ooh,
the claps.
Say that again.
Look for the truth, appreciate the truth, and run from
whoa.
The claps. Because the claps are, this is. If you're not standing up,
mm-hmm.
if I haven't moved you, if there's not something happening that makes you want to change your life, I didn't do anything.
How do you prepare then these kids for rejection?
Oh man, we talk about it all the time. Your time, understanding the process, understanding that you're going to get more no's than you'll ever hear yes. So what I tell them is, let's go get our no's. Let's go get our no's. We get 100 no's, we're going to get a yes. So as many no's as we can get, let's get them. Because at least we're doing something. We're failing forward. We're finding out what's wrong, what we need to work on. And all these kids on this front row, they've all had no's. All of them have had no's, and they're still showing up.
Are you kidding? I mean,
all of them.
I'd sign them all right now.
Every one of them.
Look at these kids are like, you know, I could make a movie with just the people in the room here, and it would be successful. Just looking at them, it's like, are you kidding me? And you have to prepare them for the no's.
Prepare them for the no's. Cry with them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Cry with them sometimes. I mean, Glamour, who's right here, they were on X Factor. You know, huge opportunity. Simon's team, you know, I'm in the video. Woo, we made it. This is it. This is it, Jesus. We did it. And then they say, Glamour's going home. And I'm like, Glamour's going home? And they're like, and we're all like, crying. And then we have to practice what it means to get back up again.
Oh, yeah.
Put one foot in front of the other. It's not over.
Yeah.
It's not over. You keep going. You will get that yes. And that was 2 years ago, and they're still going. They just did a TV show. I mean, it doesn't stop. So the no doesn't mean that I'm not great.
Yeah.
The no may just mean not right now.
You know, you're building character.
Character,
and,
yes.
And I think what happens is, you know, your talent can get you somewhere, but your character's got to keep you there.
Character will keep you there.
And what happens is with some people, they just don't understand that when they arrive at a place without character, they're not going to be there very long.
Not very long.
And I can so appreciate what you're doing. And I'm prayerful that, you know, those of you who are watching this, for you to know that something like this exists, that it is just an amazing thing, especially in this time in our nation right now, where you have someone who's willing to take kids. And I look at your kids, it's a rainbow coalition.
It is.
You know, and especially right now when we're looking at a nation that needs
divided.
To heal.
Right.
We know a house divided against itself won't stand. And yet you're not upset because Ford decided to have some white cars and some red cars and some purple cars because they're all cars.
They're all cars.
And you've got all different, I mean, and that's the awesome thing about the group. You've got a representation of all of these beautiful people.
Everybody.
And you're willing to say, regardless of your background, where you've come from.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you the opportunity, but you got to give me the guts. You've got to give me the character. You got to be willing not to give up, cave in, and quit.
Right.
You got to be persistent. You got to take that no as an opportunity to get better and to get better and to get better and to get better.
And you have to rejoice with those who rejoice.
Yeah.
Because imagine what that looks like when one group gets it and the others don't.
Oh, yeah. So why dream?
If you don't dream, why live?
Mm.
Why live? I wouldn't want to wake up every day with nothing to look forward to. I get up every morning because I'm looking. I've got my binoculars on. Who can I help today? What dream can I come in contact with and help them get over the hurdle of I can't do this? That's why the world is in the situation that it's in. People have lost hope. They've lost their dream. They don't have anything to look forward to because they feel like it's too late for me. So we don't just do kids. We do adults as well. The adults that have raised their children and they're going, okay, now what? I've always wanted to sing. Maybe my parents didn't want me to sing. And I did what my parents wanted me to do, but I'm unfulfilled. Because God put that desire in your heart. He wants that vision more than you want it. I believe what he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. It's the desires that he placed there.
You better preach now. I'm going to throw something at you. You better go.
He placed them there.
You know, I had a dream of being able to take the message of grace through a different platform other than just preaching it from the pulpit.
Yes.
And today you are a part of my dream.
Oh.
And the fact that
wow,
we are now seeing, I don't even know the number right now. It's shocking. This is like, you know, we're going on like 90 shows. And I'm thinking that is so amazing because, you know, how do you do this? What do you do? And you have to make your mind up that no matter what, I'll never give up. I'll never cave in. I'll quit. I'll trust that somehow that a door will open and an opportunity will come that will enable you to do what God's called you to do. So do you believe the Father has a dream for us?
I do. I believe that every person that was born, He wouldn't have created us without a dream.
Yeah.
I believe that the mere fact that we're on the planet, there's something that we're supposed to do, and he already put it there. And when we were a kid, we were more in touch with it as a kid than when we became an adult. And a lot of the things that when you become an adult, you say, I'm putting away those childish things that I used to love to do, maybe read or bake or whatever it is that you love to do. But it's something tied to that thing, that thing you used to love to do when nobody was around, and that thing that kind of connected you to the creator that gave you that thing,
sure,
that you have to go back and pick up and say, what is this? Because this is the vehicle that's going to get me to where I want to be. For every person that says, I don't know, I don't feel like God gave me a purpose. Oh, you wouldn't be here if there was no purpose. You wouldn't be born.
Boy, I tell you what, you got me stirred up, man. You have flat. Got me stirred up. I don't know what was going on with me at the beginning of the show, but it's all gone, man. She done preached it all out of me, praise God. You know, don't you appreciate our guest today? It's just amazing. You know, Natasha is a wonderful example of what happens when you step out in faith and believe God, even through the toughest of times. Now, if you're serious about finally walking in your destiny and fulfilling your purpose, I want to show you how to begin taking your first step on your journey to realize your dreams. Watch this, and I'll be right back.